don't rush. Don't rush through it. Just like I say, don't rush through a deal. Don't rush through the process. Let the process play out. You know, don't pull the fruit off the tree until it ripens.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby.
Hey, ADPI Nation, Kevin here. Before we kick off this week's show, I wanted to mention the triad. No, I'm not talking about the nuclear triad or the infamous Chinese gang. I'm talking about the ADPI triad, or in other words, the three single most important steps you can take to begin mastering real estate investing today. Click the link in the show notes below or head over to www.activedutypassiveincome.com/resources to register for my masterclass, where I'll reveal the ADPI triad and share the secrets to creating a real estate cash flow machine so you can reach financial freedom in 5 years or less. So do yourself a favor, pause the episode, click the link and register now. You won't regret it. Now, let's start the show. Hey, what's going on, ADPI Nation? Kevin Brenner here, host of the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. And I have another amazing guest. And guess what? I just found out that this guest lives like 10 miles from me. And we probably should have done this in person. But you know what? The more you know, right? So we're going to be sure to link up and sync up after the show. And maybe there's going to be a part two to this episode. We don't know. It's going to be awesome. But my guest today is retired Navy aviator John Rubino. And John has an incredible story about how he started in real estate while he was active duty. He served 20 years. He retired and he transitioned into full-time real estate investor, doing amazing projects and large projects, big, small, the whole thing. And John is here to walk you through that transition process, what it looked like for him, and share some advice and some knowledge on the pitfalls during that transition process. And John, so you know, I am actually getting out of active duty in, at the time of this recording, 3 weeks.
Nice.
August 28th, that is my date of separation. I'm going to be joining the reserves, but doing real estate full time. So for people who want to get the most out of this episode and they're listening, this one is going to be about, you know, not only just the transition, but how you can actually see yourself doing this full time and create the life that you want, whether you stick it out for 20 years in retirement or, you know, you serve 8+ like I did, doesn't matter. The pathway is clear. And we're going to show you how to get there. So John, welcome to the show. And if you don't mind, if you could do a quick introduction for yourself, because I'm sure I missed a lot of points, and then tell us about your military background and how you got started in real estate.
Thanks, Kevin. This is great. I'm so happy to be here with you and your listeners. Very excited about this. I was looking forward to it, and it is wonderful to be here. Thanks so much for having me. I am a New York. I was born and raised in New York. I went to school in New York. Went to college at State University of New York. Got my commission in the Navy, selected aviation. I also had my third mate's license in the Merchant Marine and my degree in business. So I had some options, which was cool, keeping those doors open. And I went down to Pensacola, Florida. I was there for about 8 weeks going through aviation training, over to Corpus Christi, Texas, coming from New York, and then going over to Corpus Christi. I was like, you know, 95 miles an hour in New York and then about 10 miles an hour in Corpus Christi. So I learned quickly, you know, how to kind of adapt. Was down there for 2 years, got my wings of gold, and then I was shipped off to Jacksonville, Florida. I was in Jacksonville for 4 years where I served as a P-3 Orion naval aviator, the big plane you could see over my head here, the big gray one. And my role as the pilot on those missions were, we were really focused on hunting for submarines. We went after submarines and surface combatant ships, but then we became an intelligence platform. We'd go out and find the bad guys and then send the F-14s and the F-18s in to take them out. So that was a lot of fun. I served for 20 years. Got to spend 3 years overseas living in Naples, Italy with my family.
Wow.
I was in Jacksonville, Florida. But I started my real estate career after my 4 years in Jacksonville. I got orders to Southern Maryland, St. Mary's County, if you're familiar, Lexington Park. Mm-hmm. And I bought a home, first time I bought a home. So I learned how to be a homeowner. And I was stationed at the base. And one of my really good friends, who I still work with and invest with, taught me about real estate. He got me involved in it. He shared some of the secrets about it. And I got hooked. I really did. I got hooked. And I started to try so many different things, foreclosures, fix and flips, land acquisition, all these different things. But I really found my groove when I was looking for new homes, new construction homes, because at the time, Southern Maryland was really growing. We had a component of the Navy move down there, an acquisition component, and all the contractors, Grumman and Boeing and Raytheon, everybody was moving down there. So it was a hot spot. And this was around 2004, 2005, right before the Great Recession. So I got in at a really good time with homes that were very, very manageable as far as investments. I bought my first property all in to buy it with the upgrades for about $250 to $260. And I sold it 6 months later for $380.
Wow.
So I was like,
so you were
wow,
riding that pre-recession
yeah.
wave. You were like,
I was
yeah.
like, this is cool. So I did that with my buddy who did a house across the street. Mm-hmm. And then he and I kind of went our separate ways. I did another one with him together. We partnered on up in Waldorf, Maryland. And he decided I'm going to get out and I'm going to start my company in DC. And I said, well, I have two kids. I got orders overseas. I want to keep this career going. I want to take care of my family. So I went over to Italy. But before I left, he and I got together and put an agreement together where I would invest with him passively for a 7-year span, it turned out to be. And I was getting a fixed return at 10% a year on my money.
Wow.
So I gave him about $200,000 and I was getting 10% a year. And I was learning about the business. I was getting these performas. I was getting these offering memorandums. I was getting this demographic data. I was getting all of these budgets. And I was kind of learning about this as a passive investor. Again, worked at my job 9 to 5 and or 8 to 5, maybe sometimes 6 to 5. And
yeah.
And then I would come home and I'd look at my investments with my buddy. And he was doing wonderful. Even during the recession, he was getting properties at 30, 40 cents on the dollar and selling them at 70, 80 cents on the dollar. So he was making good money. We were getting good returns. And this was all in DC, your backyard.
Yeah.
So Adams Morgan, Columbia Heights, Shaw, DuPont, you know, Northwest DC, which was booming at the time, where he could find good properties and give people very inexpensive condominium boutique type properties. And so I invested with him for 7 years. 7 years later, we fast forward. I come back to Washington, D.C. in 2011, 2012. I'm working at the Navy headquarters staff. Mm-hmm. And I got about 5 years left to go in the Navy to retirement. I knew I was going to go to retirement, but I said, well, do I want to kind of work for the government or do I want to maybe try something different? And entrepreneurship has been in my blood my whole life. My mom, my dad, my family. My dad owned his own construction company in New York. And I wanted to try it. So about 2012, I sit down with my financial advisor. I say, hey, Todd, I'm thinking about starting a business. And I want to center it around the same strategy that was set in place for me when I was a passive investor with my buddy. And Todd turned around, who's my financial advisor, said, sounds good. Talk to your accountant, because you need to bring him on board, which was probably one of the best pieces of advice he gave me, because now my accountant is my business partner and he's my CFO. So he and I sat down for a full year from 2012 to 13, putting everything together, the nuts and bolts of the business, standing up the company. I was learning a ton, taxes, all this different stuff. And then once we felt like we had this thing go, we sent it out to about 3 or 4 of our very close people in our network, older gentlemen that had 20, 30, 40 years of experience in real estate, banking, financing, and they beat the crap out of us, which was awesome because they really kind of got back to us and they hit us hard. And we took all their advice. We made those changes. And then the best piece of advice we got from them was, hey, we want to be your first investors when you launch this thing. So that was awesome. And we started small. We went out and we did some fix and flip renovation properties. It was just my business partner, my business partner, David, and I, and then two other of my buddies in the Navy. We would pool around $100,000 to $200,000 to $300,000. And we were basically kind of doing hard money loans, but we called them private money loans, where we would fund about 70, 80, 90% of the cost. And then the borrower would come in and fund 10, 20, or 30%, having some skin in there. And we were doing really well. I mean, we were making 30, 40% a year on our money. And it was like, wow, this is awesome. So then we started graduating a bit more to where I thought we would be, where my friend, who's now, you know, one of my biggest developer sponsors I partner with, started bringing us bigger projects, $500,000, $750,000, $1.5 million to raise for him. So now I knew, okay, I got to go out and find money, and I got to go out and formalize this business, and I got to go out and make sure that I know what I'm talking about. I got to go out and get a lawyer. So these are all the things now that kind of took off at that point. And now we've kind of found ourselves in a really nice niche where we can provide private money, what we call, and you know, equity capital, to these sponsors who are out there doing a lot of the heavy lifting, taking on the guarantees on bank loans, doing all of this heavy lifting stuff. And we bring in the capital from our investors in our business. We have about 180 private investors, friends and family, accredited investors that we've brought on board that invest through our company on a project by project basis. So I started doing that in 2013, 14, 15. 2017 hits. I'm getting ready to retire from the Navy. So now I feel I'm in good shape. I've built the business pretty well for about 4 years. We've had some very cool full cycle projects, and we were making money, and I was dumping the money back into the business because I was getting my Navy salary. And I kind of took the plunge, Kevin. I said, you know what? I think I could do this full time. It's definitely been a challenge, obviously, this last year with COVID. And we're currently investing about $16 million on 8 properties, including an opportunity zone investment right in your backyard. Yeah. So we're doing a lot of different things, bigger, complex, more bigger projects. So yeah, you know, I'm learning a ton. I'm putting the right people around me. We've hired an employee. We have a project consultant. And I think I mentioned to you beforehand, we just brought on an investment portal that what you're going to use, and our investors love. So we're starting to continue to go to those next steps. But it's been a great journey, and I've learned a ton. And I've always said to myself, put the right people around you, put the right people around you. And that's led to some really good success.
Yeah, that's an incredible story, John, because, you know, just the fact of getting started while in the Navy, and I'm going to backtrack here because you said you got that first house in Jacksonville. And it seems like, you met that person, and sometimes, you know, I had that person too, you know, that kind of, and for those people who have heard my story, I'm sure, a lot of listeners know my story about Ray and how he showed me the way, you know, and how he told me, he's like, hey man, I just bought like my seventh house. And I was like, you know, I was like, yeah. I'm a captain, you're a lieutenant. That doesn't make sense. You know, like, you know, like that's, you're cheating. But you know, he explained good debt and bad debt and the whole thing to me. And I was just like, okay, I got to figure this out. And that was just the kick in the ass that I needed to go and just educate myself. And then I found myself deep in this rabbit hole, and I loved every bit of it because that's like these secrets to real estate that, you know, our listeners, you know, probably know. And if you're new to the show, you're about to learn. But I mean, that person, I mean, you're still friends today, yes? And
oh, yeah,
business partners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're Ryan's investing business partners. In projects. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, but like, can you go back and just, you know, try to reflect on what that relationship meant to you and meant to you at the time and means to you now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's very special because, you know, he and I have known each other for over 20 years. You know, we served together in the Navy. We've been friends, brothers, business partners, you know, military brothers, you know, we both served. And so the relationship is, it's critical. I mean, we've had projects that haven't gone well recently, and he still protects our money. He still goes out of his way to make sure that, you know, we're not exposed to too much risk, right? And you don't, you know, you can't just get that from anybody you work with. That there's got to be some sort of history there. I think that my investment with him initially to get him going meant a lot, and it kind of helped him, you know, it may not have been a ton of money, but it got him some seed capital or started him out to go out and start doing some good deals. And I think that, you know, he's just, you know, we're both followers of Christ, you know, that's a big part too. And so, you know, we both resonate well to each other. We have a great relationship. We're both family people. He's not out to make a quick buck. He wants to make this work for him and his family like I do. And I want to make this work for my family. You know, we all want to make money, but money is just one part of it. There's got to be other things that are there that are foundational to preserve your kind of, you know, ability to stay in this business. Because if it's just all about money, you know, you may be very successful, you may be wealthy, you may grow your fame and whatever, but at the same time, you don't really get the most out of it. You know, you're just getting a piece of it, a small piece of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't agree more with you, John, on that. Because having that person, like, you know, some people that just happens to them and they're lucky. Yeah. And I consider myself lucky. I'm sure you consider yourself lucky to have that person influence you that early on. Cause you could have told that person, nah, get out of here. You're full of crap. And then, you know, whatever. And then you'd be kicking yourself down the road. But if you are, you know, if you're in a position to be that person for someone else. So if you're a listener of this podcast and you are understanding real estate, maybe you're acting in real estate, you're taking action, you're part of the Action Takers Only Mastermind and you're doing stuff, be that person for other people. And the best way to do that is just subscribe to the 3-foot rule. Tell everyone around you in 3 feet exactly what you do, given an opportunity. Don't like be annoying about it, but like, you know, when someone asks you that question, you're at a cocktail party or whatever, or you're at a friend's house or something. And that question always comes up when you meet new people. Oh, what do you do? And have a succinct 10 second, you know, not elevator pitch, but just answer to that. And when you say, you know, I'm a real estate investor that I do this, that, and that, people's ears perk up because it's different. And you might get that curious person who asks you more questions, and be willing to help that person, because you never know what you're going to do for that person. And you never know what's going to happen down the line, because your friend influenced you and taught you some things. And then in return, you return the favor by investing $200,000 with them. Like, yep. That's crazy. And that's how this business works. It's relationships. So if you can keep making those relationships and have that abundance mindset that John's friend had, and now I'm sure John, you have for people in your sphere, it just pays dividends in so many ways beyond just financial dividends. You know, like
exactly right.
You know, you build that social capital with people, and you build that trust and that faith, and you're all fighting for the same mission. And it's just incredible, John. So yeah. I love that story, and I will harp on that until until they kick me off the air on the show. but yeah, man. So, you know, talking more about, you know, we're back in Jacksonville, you buy that house, you meet your friend, and your first, did you go and buy an investment property? Were you kind of just all over the place? It sounded like you were dabbling in a lot of different things. What did that look like?
Yeah. So actually, I bought the first property in Patuxent River, Maryland, Southern Maryland, Jacksonville. Oh, yeah. I was stationed there, and that's where I got to meet my buddy, and we were stationed down there. I actually lived with him for a few months with a few other folks, and that's when he started talking about it. We were on deployment in, I think it was Iceland, and we're in the bar at the local bar on the base, and I'm hearing him talk about this stuff, and I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? This is like 2000, 2001. And then, you know, fast forward to 2004, 2005, we're both doing it together in Pax River, Maryland, in Southern Maryland. And I lived right around the corner from where I was building these houses. So the first one was about 5 minutes away from the house. How could you get any closer to a great location from where you live? And it was 2 minutes away from the base. So great.
So you jumped right into development then.
Yeah, well, like I said, I started out, you know, taking bumps and bruises, learning about foreclosures and probates and fix and flips, and the market was just so hot. It was like now. I mean, try to get a fix and flip in DC. Good luck.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
You know, it's almost impossible. And so you had to find that niche, and new construction home building was the niche because of that area. And that's what I always tell people. It's your location. After the developer or the sponsor that you're investing with, or if you're active, you yourself and what you can do, it's your location. It really is. I mean, what's hot about your location? Well, Amazon's coming, or we got the government, or we got government contractors, or we got whatever. That's why this location is fantastic. So you got to find the reasons why there. But yeah, that was why I got into new construction holding. I knew there was money to make. The risk was very low. And, you know, like you see, risk averse, mitigation strategy in place. I know what I'm doing. I know how to get in and get out. And I'm in good shape. Let's do it. Let's press the go button. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I started. And then the passive side, you know, the passive side brings some pros and cons. The pros are, hey, I don't have to worry about being at the property every day. I don't have to worry about the contractor, you know, getting there a little late, or the tenant stuffing the toilet bowl. But I have to worry about my money being lost. That's the biggest risk I have. But I don't have control over the property. That's another thing. That's a downside of being a passive investor. So these are the things you got to weigh. If you're a business owner and this is not your full time thing, you know, this might be a nice way to own some real estate, but not have to worry about the big headaches and the complexity that the developers that do this full time have to worry about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the cool thing about, you know, being passive, and we could talk about this for hours. I'm sure we will when we go get lunch.
Yeah.
It's depending on the project you're in, you can realize the tax benefits. And absolutely. Not have to do the, have to worry about the stress of operations and management and all of those things. So you started out, that's crazy. Starting out right off the bat, new home development. Can you tell us a little bit more? I mean, you kind of touched on it there. It was like, well, that was the thing to do.
Yeah.
Was your friend, was he also, that was like his thing? Like, you know, he really wanted to get into development and you guys happen to be in the same area, or, you know, because it sounds, for our listeners out there, you know, we always subscribe at Active Duty Passive Income. We always say, like, well, one of the easiest ways to get started is house hacking.
Yeah.
You know, you buy a house, you rent out some bedrooms, you rent out, you know, buy a duplex, live in one side, rent out the other. You know, new home development, it sounds a little scary for a new investor. So what was that thought process like to you? Or did you guys kind of just like go in together and say, I'm going to figure this out?
Yeah, we kind of sat down. We had a strategy. Like I said, I built on one side of the street. He built on the other. It was a brand new development. It was actually a builder that was going to do it all. We kind of went in and knew that the financing was going to be a construction loan that the builder would take on. And then basically it would switch over to us when we settled on the house and bought it. But we knew that we were going to turn around and sell the house before we even bought it. So we did a double closing. So when I went to closing to buy it for myself to take on the loan, I turned around and said, nah, I got a buyer. And that person basically took it right from me. So we made sure that all the legal documents and the contracts all had that in there to allow us to be able to do that. So that's a big part of it. But yeah, that was our strategy. We knew it was a very, very minimal investment for us to start. And the builder basically had all the risk. So that was really the big thing. And we saw the trajectory of the market. We saw how the prices were going, and he did a lot of that research at first, but he and I walked through it together. Cause of course, you know, by then he's in a master's degree and I'm still getting through high school learning about all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And and we just figured, you know, this is going to be a good opportunity for us to make some good money. It's a good way for me to learn the business to start and have some active ownership. And it gave me a little taste of what it was like to be, you know, part of an active deal. Now I look back at that and say, wow, you know, that was fun. I had a lot more time to be able to do it back then. But then when I kind of continued on with my career, I was like, I probably don't have a lot of time to be able to do that. So it's probably better that, again, I go passive. I invest with people that are doing this for a living, people that I know, people that I trust, people that I've networked with, people I've built relationships with to do this. And it worked better that way for me. And that was just the shoe that fit my foot. It may not necessarily be the same shoe that everybody else wants to put on.
How do you become a successful military real estate investor? It starts with having a strong squad and trustworthy mortgage broker by your side. Hey guys, Kevin here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to help you fill out your real estate investment dream team. Whether you're looking to fund your first VA house hack, close on an out-of-state turnkey investment, or just have a conversation with a lender who speaks your language, make sure you reach out to ADPI's team of qualified mortgage pros. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team is standing by to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL, D-E-A-L, to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
Now, you bring up a really great point because you said after after Maryland or at some point in your career, you went overseas to Italy.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of listeners who are listening in Europe and around the world, and they're, you know, military and a big struggle. Even the students, some of my students, they say, well, I really want to get started. It's just difficult for me because I can't buy a home in Europe. You know, I can't use my VA loan in Italy, you know, like, and you're right. You can't.
Yeah.
So you have that struggle. How can I, you know, I'm over here for 3 or 4 years. How can I, like, do I have to, you know, put the brakes on and not invest at all? And the fact of the matter is you don't. You just need to find a strategy. Like John said, find the shoe that fits your foot for where you're walking. And if you're walking over in Europe, then, you know, or overseas, then you can do it. And similar, you know, Adam Labar, one of the co-founders of ADPI, bought a, 62-unit apartment complex while stationed in Japan.
Wow.
You know, like,
that's amazing.
That's a possibility, you know? And so it's all about how your mindset is tailored and what your target is and what you're looking forward to. So, but you mentioned, you know, kind of the passive income and stuff. And, you know, a lot of folks, they talk about, well, I can't invest in passive deals because I'm not, you know, I'm not an accredited investor. I don't make $200,000 a year, $300,000 a year. I'm in the military. What do I do? Mm-hmm. So, John, can you walk someone through kind of what a you know, quote unquote sophisticated investor can do? Do they have opportunities for people like that?
They do. I mean, you could go online. You probably know, like, there's crowdfunding websites that allow sophisticated investors. They may set certain criteria. We do that as well for friends and family, people we know really well that are not accredited, but again, that the Securities and Exchange Commission, which governs our business, calls engagement. And the engagement there is, you know, hey, that person lives pretty close to me, or they're friends and family. They know who I am. They know the risk it could be involved. They're not investing their mortgage money or their kids' college money. They've gone through a very thorough and detailed understanding of the business, and they meet certain criteria that's not as stringent as the accredited investor criteria that the government, that the SEC sets, but we still put in parameters in there that protect them, protect us, and put them in that category to make them feel comfortable that they can invest. One of the things we do, maybe a little bit differently than other groups similar to us, is we don't go out and try to bring on people when we have a project and we need money. We want to have people in position, understand us, understand our business, like what we do, meet us, again, grow that relationship, see we're genuine, we're not working out of a basement or, you know, whatever, that we're actually done this, we know how to do it, and we walk through everything with them to make them feel comfortable so that when they do become investors with us and they sign up to join us, at that point, they're really just in a position to see the deals we've done, we're doing, and now we're getting ready to do if they want to join us to invest. There's no obligation. There's no requirement mm-hmm. to invest with us. But at that point, they've walked through our model. They've walked through our strategy. And yes, we're a little more of a hand-holding type company. We do have investors that are like, dude, I looked at your website. I know what you do. I love what you do. I'm signing up. Just let me know when your next deal is coming in. Okay. No problem. And then I get those people that call me and say, you know, can I spend 2 hours with you? I want to walk through this. I'm not sure about this makes sense. How does this waterfall work? What's your org chart look like? You know, what is your timeline for when I need to come in versus when you need the money? You know, how does that process? And that's fine. I want to do that up front so that they feel comfortable with me and our business and they know how we operate. And then they're in a position to say, I'm ready to start looking at your deals.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. You know, it's about what's available to you as an investor, and I think, you know, understanding all different types of models of investing, whether you're doing buy and hold, you're doing a house hack, you're doing a flip, you're doing a development, that there are so many different flavors of real estate that is out there. And you know, finding the one that's right for you and your family at the right time in your life is good. But I would challenge people, just because you do go overseas somewhere, you think that you can't do it, you can. You just have to think more creatively. And I guarantee you that people have done it. You know, people have been trading real estate for thousands of years. You are not the first one to do it. No matter how creative you think your business model is, it's been done before.
Yep,
and that's
exactly.
Okay. And that is okay. That just, to me, that just proves that real estate is that good of a business, you know, that like people have done it before, they've made a bajillion dollars and then they stopped doing it because they made so much money. Great. Let someone else, you know, there's plenty of real estate. It's constantly trading hands. So really, really powerful stuff. So is there any, I'd love to ask you some like kind of pitfalls that you learned, while you were transitioning. So you're, you know, let's fast forward a couple of years and you're in that 5 to 6 year window, and you're transitioning. What were some of the pitfalls and bumps and bruises that you learned that you might be able to help someone prevent if, as they transition out of the military?
Yeah. I mean, like you said before, it's really important if someone wants to get into real estate, they really identify which path they want to go down. And that to me is the most important. You know, you may like real estate, you might be attracted to it, but it's really like, hey, if you want to do this full time or you want to do it part time while you're in the Navy, in the military, that's fine. But just find something that attracts you. To me, I love people. I love being in front of people. I love talking to people. I love kind of sharing my passions about what I do and in life and whatever and business. And I enjoy it. That's the part of me that I really like. I'm not really that great when it comes to taxes. I'm not really that great when it comes to the financial side of things as far
understanding
as
understanding them or paying
them. Yeah. Both.
Both.
Yeah, both. But just, you know, but I've learned a ton over the last couple of years because of my partner, who's my accountant and our CFO, where, you know, what is capital gains versus income versus depreciation versus recapture, all that stuff. I'm starting to learn that more because I have to be able to speak about it. I may not necessarily be the subject matter expert, but I have to at least understand it and speak it. Yeah. And just the time to be able to really give the, give the business the time it needed. So when I was working in the Navy, you know, I was working 7:30 to 5 and I'd come home, hang out with the family. And then I would just go to my office and check my emails for the business and answer questions for my investors. We were smaller back then, but as we grew and got bigger and bigger, my time was really needed more so in the company. So I knew that, all right, I just don't want to bite off more than I can chew and make this manageable so that, you know, first and foremost, the military is my number one job. Right. And I got to realize that I'm operational ready at the whole time. You know, I can't have stress at work, bring it home and have stress with the business. It's not going to work. So you got to kind of manage that. You got to put some expectations forward on what you can do and spend time on, whether it's you working 5 days a week for 20 hours a day or 7 hours a week for 12 hours a day, whatever you decide you want to do. The beauty about being still in and doing this part-time is you're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. You got your benefits. You got, you know, all the security. I know that taking the plunge in 2017 and even each day I wake up, sometimes I'm like, wow, you know, do we have enough cash flow coming in? Do we have enough money for the business? Oh, and by the way, do I have enough money to pay my mortgage? Do I have enough money to take care of my family? So you gotta put that into perspective that, you know, if I do this full time, what replaces that security I had in the military? And that's huge. That's huge. You gotta put that into perspective. And that's definitely a challenge. And then, you know, just walking through the process of saying to yourself, you know, do I want to do this full time? Do I want to maybe get a job working, you know, with a company or as a in the government still, but then doing this part time and getting to a point where I feel more confident that I can do it. Don't rush. Don't rush through it. Just like I say, don't rush through a deal. Don't rush through the process. Let the process play out. You know, don't pull the fruit off the tree until it ripens. Like if you have a great deal, yeah, don't pull it off right away to say, oh, I want bird in the hand when you know, hey, there's potential to make another, you know, whatever amount of dollars in this if we just stay patient because the market's starting to come back around again, stuff like that. So that to me would be the biggest advice. And then just, you know, put the right people around you. Put the people around you that you can trust, that you can say they can help me. You know, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, wrote so many wonderful books. Rich Dad Poor Dad, obviously one of the best, if not the best. And he talks about the trusted agents you need to have around you, a good accountant, a financial advisor, a good attorney. You know, put these people around you, people that you go and you meet and you talk to and you can trust that'll be there to help you. And if they're not on the team or they're not someone directly, then have them as an outsource. You know, like if I have something going on that I'm questioning about with regards to compliance, I call up my PPM attorney or I call up my buddy Dan, who's an attorney, who's a business attorney. My business partner is my accountant. I have my financial advisor lives right around the corner. So these are all the things you got to think about that if you need to pull somebody in to help you, that those people are there, or at least just identify it and then say, okay, as I grow my business, I know I have to address that.
Yeah. And you know, you hit on so much there. And the last point being that your network is totally key. And as you grow any business, your network is going to continue to grow. And that's the crazy part. Like when you're growing a business, which we both are right now, and it's, you know, you think, oh my God, how the heck am I going to solve this problem? Like something comes up and you're just like dumbfounded and you think the world is going to end. And even before you even start that business, you're talking yourself out of it. Be like, well, I don't know how to do X, Y, or Z.
Right.
But the fact remains that as you grow your network, it kind of happens at the same time. You're growing your network, you're growing your business. They're happening at the same time. And then when you have a problem, you reach out to someone else in your network who has dealt with this problem before, and a 15-minute phone call and boom, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's figured out. The light bulb is lit and you have an action path forward, and it's not terrible and everything. I think it's common for us, maybe less common because we've served in the military and we know how valuable a team is, mm-hmm. no matter what service you're in. But even, you know, just going out and doing something alone, it's scary, and we talk ourselves out of it because we think that no one is around to help us, or we think that every piece of advice we're going to have to pay, you know, we have to pay for it.
Right.
We don't have that money. But the fact is that if you surround yourself with good people, those good people will want to give back to you, and you're going to want to give back to them. You're going to grow yes. together. And I mean, it's just one of those things that our brains, are wired for fight or flight, right? And
yeah,
we'll do anything.
You're absolutely right. I'm going to save my best book for you when we do the bonus round, because you're just touching on why it's my best book and my favorite book. But I totally agree with you. If you're a genuine person and someone can look you in the eyes and see that you are someone that wants to help first, mm-hmm. then I could tell you they're going to do everything they can to help you. And if you go out of your way, I mean, I belong to a wonderful networking group in the area, and everybody is fantastic professionals. I don't just bring them referrals from business colleagues. I use them personally. I have an estate attorney in the group that has handled my mom and dad's trust. I have an insurance contact that does my homeowners and car insurance. There's so many people in this group that I go to them because I trust them. And not only do I bring them business referrals, I bring them my personal referrals, me, my stuff, my family, my stuff. That's how much I trust them. And I think when you can get to that point with a certain group, a network that you can do that, that's when you hit the gold mine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And John, you're just dropping so many gems here for a lot of our listeners.
I'm enjoying it.
I really truly love it.
Good.
I think it's time, man. I think we should just jump right into this bonus round, because I really want to hear these nuggets.
Yeah, baby. I'm ready.
You dropped
next
so
time
many,
we're
so.
Doing this in person. I can't wait.
Oh my, yeah, I know, right? We gotta save some content for round two. Yeah.
We do. Let's keep your listeners on edge. We want to give them more.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So we ask these same four questions, John, to every single guest. You're a guest number 209. Nice. So every guest has answered these questions, some the same answers, some different answers. But we're going to start with question number one. What book or software has really been crushing it for you lately?
The book I was going to mention to you, it's one of my best books, is How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale mm-hmm. Carnegie. I mean, come on, that's the Bible. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you can argue. But, when I read and listened to How to Win Friends and Influence People, it was just like, it hit my heart. It pierced me, because it really just explains to you in just such a wonderful way, not just business, but your life, right? I mean, what's your purpose? Like Simon Sinek, what's your why? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you love your kids? Why do you love your wife? Why do you pay your bills, right? I mean, are you a robot, or do you actually feel like, hey, there's something out there that I'm meant to do? And again, I mentioned my faith. That to me is number one. God's got a plan for us all, right? Whether or not, you believe in him or not, that's totally up to you, but he's got a plan for us all. And if you open your heart to him and you just say, hey, I'm yours, take me wherever you want me to go, life's pretty good. And I think Dale brings that out really well in that book. And I love it. I just think it's one of the best books ever written.
Yeah. I asked myself why I pay DC rent in Southwest. I asked myself that regularly. There's my why. Why?
That's your why.
Why?
Why?
Paying this rent. That's cool. But No, I do love living. We love living where we're living, and it's a blast. Okay. Question number two, who's your biggest hero and why?
Hands down, my dad. You know, I mean, look, my dad's 86 years old. He is in the Marine Corps. He served in Korea. I'm looking at his shadow box on my wall right now. He's got a Bronze Star, Purple Heart.
Wow.
You know, this guy was unbelievable. And, you know, I moved out of New York back in 1997 when I graduated from college. I was 22 so I'm old. And so mom and dad,
not that old.
Yeah, I don't have the great hair you have, but I'm trying. Mom and dad were in New York. You know, they've been in that house for 46 years and, you know, they're getting ready to move down to Virginia in 2 weeks. Can you believe
really?
That? So they're going to be moving.
So you're going to be close.
Yeah, we're going to be close. So
fantastic.
You know, I feel like that's a gift that I'm getting to be able to live around my parents who just basically made me who I am. But dad is just a special guy. I call him every day. And he's always there to listen. He's always there to give me advice. He's always there to help me with anything I need. And, you know, look, when you have your parents to have them to an age, my folks are both 86, when you could have them to that age and still be able to enjoy them and share with them and talk to them. And now being 10 minutes away from me and my kids, right. It's going to be such a wonderful experience. I'm really excited. But yeah, hands down, my dad's my hero.
Fantastic. All right. Question number three, John, what do you like to do for fun?
I love to run. I like to play golf when I can. I just love spending time with my family. I have four kids. I have a daughter who's going to be a senior in high school. Oh, my goodness. And I have three boys, a sophomore in high school, and an eighth grader and a sixth grader. So I love coaching my boys. I love mentoring my boys and my daughter, and just being there for my kids and my family, and just seeing them smile. You know, when you walk out of your office after a long day, or if you got hit in the head because, you know, it's just really busy and you're just having a rough day, it's unlike seeing one of your kids come over and give you a hug and say, "Hey, Dad, I love you." You know, that's just melts your heart. I don't care what kind of day you're having. You know, that day turns around in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. And, we don't have any kids yet, but I know for us it's going to be.
You can borrow as many of mine as you want.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, free babysitting.
There you go.
When your kid comes back, he'll be schooling you in some private equity. And
there you go. Yeah. I'll take it.
You'll be taking notes from your kid.
There you go.
All right, question number three, John. This is the big one.
Okay.
No pressure. So for someone who is listening to this podcast right now, maybe they're staring a military transition in the face. Maybe they're separating. Maybe they're retiring. What are some three nuggets that you could give to them that might help them, you know, if they want to pursue real estate full time?
Yeah. Number one, I would say have a plan, right? Number two, put the right people around you to execute your plan. And number three, take time for you. Take time for you. I started the transition about a year out. I pretty much knew I was getting out. I started the transition process, TAP, and all the required classes and everything. And I just said to myself, now it's my turn. Now it's my time. You know, I've served for 19 years, 19 and a half years, but I have to be able to be ready. I mean, I know people that work all the way to that last day, and then it's like, oh, I'm supposed to get out of the Navy or military now. What do I do, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, have a good plan, put the right people around you, and take time for you. Those are the three things I would recommend.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic advice, and I think it's so critical to have that plan, and to be honest, I started my transition about 3.5 years ago.
Good for you.
And yeah. And I just saw, I thought after my last assignment I was done, and you know my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she moved up to D.C. To pursue a job, and she wanted to go to New York City, and we wanted to keep the relationship alive, and I said, hey, listen, you know, there is no way I can get a military job in New York City. Like, it ain't happening, you know? Like, so she's like, well, where can I go? And I said, well, I bet I can finagle something in DC. And I was able to tell my command, and you know, I got lucky, and they put me in the Pentagon, and we've been living here ever since. And now I'm
lucky
getting out.
For that. Pentagon.
Well, a captain of the Pentagon, it was okay.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah. No one expects much of me. The bar was very low. So, you know, I answer phones and pick them up and put them down. But yeah, it was a good gig because, you know, it kind of gave me a little bit more of a runway to get things going. And now I'm confident and built my business, and I'm confident that it's all going to work out. And even some days when I'm not confident, I know that we're going to be okay because of that plan that I've had the entire time. And it's never too early to start that. Don't think that you have to go through TAPS first or anything like that. But yeah, John, solid advice. I love it. Where can folks get in touch with you?
Well, you know, we have our website. It's just jidinvestments.com, Juliet India Delta Investments.com. And mm-hmm. So that's our website there. And then we're on YouTube, JID Investments. I'm on LinkedIn, John Rubino. Look me up. Also, JID has a LinkedIn page as well. I'm always available. You know, feel free, please, to share my contact information with your listeners, whether they have questions about transition, about, hey, how do I find my path in real estate? And I love to help people out because, you know, people help me. So we love in this business when you can return favors and you can do things for mm-hmm. people. Goes back to the Dale Carnegie theory.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, if you're listening right now, please, please, please get in contact. Go through John's website, get in contact with him and maybe shoot him an email or whatever and just set something up, especially if you're in the, if you're in the Northern Virginia area, the DC area, we're here. Both of us are here about probably 10 minutes from each other. We're going to be certainly meeting up and we'd love to have you as life comes somewhat back to normal in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. We're getting there. We're getting closer.
Yeah.
It's been an incredible pleasure, John, to
thank you. Pleasure was all mine.
Yeah, to meet you and I'm excited to meet you in person very shortly. And we're going to have to do part two in person.
We will. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
See ya.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest, and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.